Hey, Sam.
Hey Sam, how are you?
Good. You?
Okay. Hello, hello.
We are back.
Actually, I want to start with something because last episode, Sam said that I looked really cute and she was in her jammies, and now it is vice versa. Sam is looking so cute and I am in a giant, I don't know, hoodie like Sherpa that I got
Is
off
that one of
Amazon.
those wearable blankets?
Yes, it is. It is the best thing I've ever bought in my life.
Yeah, I
Oh my
literally
God.
came straight from seeing clients. That's the only reason
I
that I look fancy.
get it. So we'll just call each other out at the beginning of every episode in case people don't.
Just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, y'all get a little insight about, where we both are at the beginning of the episodes. So today we're talking about anger. Sam, how's your anger scale today?
Woo! Okay, I guess. How are we gonna rate it? If we're on like a 1 to 10, like 1 being the least angry and 10
Yeah.
being like I'm gonna explode and
Outraged.
break things,
Yeah.
I'm sitting at like a 7 if we're being real real. It's pretty hot. I'm like sweating just thinking about it.
Hey, well, thank you for being honest about your anger level. And I'd say I'm probably about like a 4. Yeah. Also, we're gonna wait and see how well Simon is today. Because I think Simon, my cat, is about an 8 because he's hungry and he gets very hangry. So
So
we'll
the
see how.
screams start about 3 hours pre-dinner time.
Yes, about 3 hours. If you hear him, please let me know. He will be put into another room. He is meowing right now at the door, just staring at it. So anyway, so anger was the second most voted on the Instagram poll, and I'm excited to talk about this topic. You and I both have experience, obviously experiencing the motion of anger, but also running groups about anger. So that's really cool.
Yeah, no, I think we've both had some pretty cool experiences. I got to lead group at the men's inpatient addiction facility I was at my last internship semester, and the very first group I ever did was on anger, and so I tried to have this nice full circle moment where the last one that I ever did was on anger too. But it's interesting. I think men have a different experience of anger, so it'll be cool to get your perspective because you work with a co-ed teen group, right?
Yes. Yes. And let me tell you, teens angry. Get it? So was I as a teen. Like that was the, I think one of the only emotions I connected with the most as a teenager was anger. And it makes sense because one, you're going through the hell of hormones. You're in this really hard to balance stage of life where you're trying to balance identity versus role confusion. And you're just trying to fit in. And you want to be perceived as an adult, but you're not an adult yet. And so, yeah. I can see why a lot of the teens that I worked with, why myself as a teenager experienced that emotion a lot. And I'm excited for people to hear the other side of anger because anger has such a negative connotation to it. And so now that we get to talk about why anger isn't the problem.
And I think, yeah, and I love what you said about like the teens, especially, and like you as a teenager, because like I do a lot of parts work in my own therapy and in th work with clients. And like I find that a lot of times our angry part is a teenager, like angry Sam. She's 19 and she is hellacious. She's the mad one. I'm like, there's the part of me that's like, you effing dumb, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we're not gonna do that. I hear you. We're not gonna do that.
Like
So,
the balance is so real.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
finding ways to help give that part what they need and to be mindful of like what that anger means. But I think we can jump in and just kind of talk about the difference between like anger and aggression, because I think that goes along with the negative connotation of it.
Yeah, I think when people think of anger, they are mistaking anger for aggression. So anger is the emotion. Anger, emotions don't have anything inherently wrong with having experiencing the emotion, right? It's where anger can lead you that can become a problem. So aggression is the behavior, whether we're verbally aggressive with somebody, telling them, cursing them all the way down, what's that saying?
Oh God, I don't know.
It's fine. Someone knows that one. Or they're, aggressive physically. So where we get, punching walls or punching people.
Driving really recklessly.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yes. Driving recklessly. Yeah. Have you ever been in the car with somebody who is angry? Yeah, that's terrifying, right? So those are the two differences there that we're going to look into, and why we want to be able to honor and experience anger and also avoid allowing anger to reach aggression.
I think we have to, not just with anger, but with all emotions, kind of strip the moral good and bad that we kind of assign emotions, right? Like I have the app that we talked about last time, the How We Feel, and you get to pick between four things. It's high energy pleasant, high energy unpleasant, low energy pleasant, low energy unpleasant. And like that, like the actual sensation of those emotions might be pleasant or unpleasant, but they're not inherently good or bad.
Right.
And I love that idea of what we do with it and the behavior is what makes it problematic and less helpful.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. I like that it breaks it up in that way, because even something that might be unpleasant for one person, someone experiencing a similar emotion might find it unpleasant. Did I say that right? Pleasant and unpleasant. Yeah. So I'm sure many people have heard about the anger iceberg, but Sam, do you want to dive into the anger iceberg?
It's my favorite handout to give people. It's my favorite thing to talk about with clients. I make my little triangle with my hands. So when we think about the anger iceberg, when you see an iceberg out in the water, you see the tip of it that's sticking out, but you don't see all that's underneath it, right? So like anger, when we see anger, we oftentimes see the aggression, we see the shutting down, we see the cutting people off or the yelling or like whatever it might be that has like a negative behavior experience, that's what we're seeing. But what's underneath that, anger is a secondary emotion. Like we don't experience anger in isolation. So you're going to experience, like, I'll give an example. So, like, for me, when I'm afraid, I'm instant. You want to see me madder than anything on the planet? Jump scare me. My husband knows we don't play. He's so funny because, like, when he grew up, his family would like do the jump scares and stuff like that. My brother would do it, but my husband and I, we have a rule in this house. We do not do that to each other because I'm a really nice person unless I'm afraid. Like my cousin came up to me in the middle of the grocery store once and like started like came up and whispered in my ear and I turned around with my fists up and she was like, "Oh my God, I've never seen you." Fear is so often the emotion I see under anger. But so like the bottom of the iceberg can be fear, it can be rejection, it can be shame, it can be guilt, it can be sadness, and a lot of times it's a bunch of them.
Yeah. I'm looking at an anger iceberg right now on my computer, because we can just Google search it together, anyone listening, and read along, So yeah, on top, it's all the things that we see on the outside. And then under it, we can be disappointed, feel rejected or betrayed. Those are some big ones. I see fear is like right at the surface, right under the surface of the iceberg. So we're th that's why they say that anger is a secondary emotion, right? So these are the true feelings we're experiencing. So okay, that example you just gave, Sam, the primary emotion is fear. And the easiest way for our bodies to associate that fear is expressing anger. Because how else can we express fear, right? Like fear, especially in a jump scare moment, sends our adrenaline through the roof. So we can't even process it enough in the moment to where it's like, oh, I'm going to sit here and allow my body to feel this and cry. No, we're running on adrenaline. Even if it's from something as like a jump scare, it could also be a car wreck, right? Mm-hmm. Sending someone into anger because we're scared.
We need a talk text. Oh.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, whenever you have a second, give me a call. I need to tell you something. What?
Yes.
About what?
Well, it's, you know, I think that when I think about the anger iceberg, I think of all the things that are underneath it. Like, anger is protective. Mm-hmm. You know, those parts that get angry when we, and some people will be like, well, no, this person did me wrong, so I'm just mad because of that. And it's like, yeah, but like, did they do you wrong by stealing something from you? Is there something that's going against your values? Is mm-hmm. there something that caused another like heart pain to come up? Like, what is it that is true? You know, there's always root. That's the way that I kind of practice is like, let's dig deeper and deeper and deeper down this same line, yep. You know?
Yep.
And I think anger is more palatable for people than like tears.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so first going back to what you were saying about it depends on, you know, how, like what caused us to feel angry, right? Or even who caused us to feel angry. So someone that we love and trust doing something, for example, I'm just going to keep using that example that you gave because it's so great. Let's say your husband did jump scare you and y'all have this understanding with each other that that's not okay. That's a boundary for me. That's a level of hurt and betrayal added to that anger because mm-hmm. we've made a pact together that that wouldn't happen. Right. So our friends who, you know, I've had clients who's, and we've all known people, right. Where a friend might go talk with an ex-boyfriend or an ex-partner. Right. Ooh. And then you're like, mm-hmm. what happened to the code of friendship? Like what happened? What is that just gone? And so there's hurt and betrayal there. There's when it's a connected person. Now let's talk about strangers, right? Ooh. So something that angers me, since you are so kind and vulnerable to give your anger and fear, mine is when people are selfish
mm-hmm.
and like the entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And just being inconsiderate of other people. So for example, Mardi Gras, happy Fat Tuesday, by the way. So we're recording on Fat Tuesday. So I had the wonderful experience of going to a parade on Saturday, and there was a very lovely family. I say lovely, very kindly, who got into myself and my friends' faces yelling at us. And it's these like grown men, okay? Yelling at these 20-something-year-old women, right? About and cursing us out that they paid somebody to come stand there and save that space for them all day. And that, like, how dare we? And we weren't near their area. It was wild, right? So just the, like, you don't own the neutral ground. The neutral ground. Neutral. Anyway, you don't own that. But the that thing, and also, of course, how this person was talking to my friends, myself, like, that can mm-hmm. cause people to get angry. For me, I think my natural instinct in situations like that is to de-escalate.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my friends was the reaction that most people have would be like, you're not going to speak to me that way. Right. Mm-hmm. So
I think you say most people, I think it's so dependent on like
fight, whether flight, freeze.
And it can be attachments. It's so many, there's so many contributing factors as to mm-hmm. like how people react. Cause I know like Internally, I'd be like, let's go. But
Yeah.
externally, I'd be like, I'm sorry, we'll move. And then I'd like give it my friends and be like, I'm pissed. Like, that's how that would
Me, no, literally. I get it. And so, obviously people mixing alcohol in situations like this is just a disaster. And so, yeah, you can, that kind of thing is when I tend to get frustrated. Can you hear Simon right now? Fantastic. Okay. But anyway, so yes, that anger is way more acceptable than crying, socially acceptable, I mean.
But yeah, it's a protective thing. Like that's the thing. And that's where I think that anger can also be such a tool, right? I think your example is a perfect segue into like the usefulness of anger, right? Because for me, I hate like really aggressive confrontation. It if I am being I think I can count on like my fingers and toes how many people have seen me like lose my mind from the time I've been like a child to now almost 30. Like I am not a I'm not a screamy fighty. I can be intense just emotionally, but like I'm much more of a crier than a yeller. Like I told you about the situation where someone was like hurting my dog the other day. Not purposefully, but my reaction was just like to cry and be like, please stop, versus the internal experience afterwards was like, I should have told her she's got 5 seconds to put my dog down or I'm gonna like call her boss. Like, stop, you know? But that's the thing. Anger, sometimes it takes being like just next level pissed to even be able to say, this is absolutely unacceptable. This needs to stop right now, like to protect yourself. And I'll tell you, I find it for my friends as well, like my close little circle. Like, it's a lot easier to get mad and like really show up and be like, absolutely not, this is not okay, when someone's doing something to someone I care about versus to myself.
Spoken from my chest, literally. Absolutely, I say that all the time. Standing up for myself is such a more difficult experience than me standing up for someone that I love and care about. And I think that, I imagine that's a lot of people's experience. And so hopefully, people listening understand that that's so common and that could depend on how you were raised, whether or not you were allowed to defend yourself and speak up for yourself. And, that witnessing of injustice for someone that you care about is a projection of needing that response for yourself too. I
But I've
heard you.
seen the opposite. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. Continue. I'll bring mine after.
I've seen the opposite too. I've had clients that are very, very like quick to stand their ground and like do not have a problem at all, like saying, hey, nope, this is not acceptable. This is not okay. Like, not even like hateful, just very confident and like
Yeah.
not afraid to do that. And I find a lot of times those clients have struggled with not having those needs met too. So I feel like you go, it's oftentimes a
Yes,
split
of
of one way or
course.
the other.
Yeah. So either we identify that in some type of way and find voice for ourselves, or that pattern can continue throughout life as if there's that person or whatever the rule hit, unspoken rule of you not being able to defend yourself still exists. But I heard you say something that when you were talking about the vet tech or whoever it was not putting your dog down, right? So, you said I should have said this.
Yeah,
And
you caught me.
but it's so true because we look back and we say, oh, I should have done this. And I saw something, whether it was like Reddit or TikTok or something where someone asked, like, what's the most valuable thing your counselor said to you? And someone wrote, she said that should is could, but with shame.
And I literally just had this conversation. I just had that conversation with a client in the last week about like you were really telling yourself that you should do a lot of things. And we all fall into that trap, really, truly. And it's like shame is kind of like that anger turned inward, you know?
Yes.
And
Yes.
sometimes we can use that to like, I feel like sometimes experiencing the emotion of anger can like inspire or fuel what we need to like set a boundary or be like, this isn't okay, or whatever that may be. And then other times it can be detrimental.
Yeah, so like that the beneficial part of anger, right? It's kind of like the beneficial part of anxiety, right? So
Productive.
it's protective and it also can drive us to get things done we need to. Imagine we have no anxiety, no care in the world to, okay, first off, can't imagine. Second off, that just, it does help us in a lot of ways, and anger does too. Anger is an emotion just like any other emotion. But how many times do we look back at something and say, I should have handled it this way? Because sometimes with anger, and I'm the same way, I get very emotional when I'm angry, and it's this like uncontrollable anger that comes out in like either tears, or it can be a freeze response for people. It could be a flight, fight. I mean, it just depends. And why we want to talk about it today is the healthy way to be able to express anger so that it's not harmful to you. And so it could be used as an emotion and not as a behavior.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is like we got to work on the shame around it
Yeah.
because I think that is one of the like most painful parts of experiencing anger because the last God, I want to say the last couple months, but it's really been the last like 2 years, to be quite honest. The amount of anger that I have experienced has been more in the last 2 years probably than in my entire life. And I was a cranky little kid, right? But like, as things happen that are out of our control, or as people do things that are hurtful, or as we stay in situations, like as things like that happen, the shame that you talked about is what I think we get stuck in because we take the anger for the unjust or for the hurt or the fear or the sad or whatever it may be from these situations we don't have control. We take that and we take that anger, just pour it inward sometimes.
Yes.
But when we do that and we hold on to that shame, then not only are we experiencing, like, I'm angry at this person, I'm angry at this situation, I'm angry at whatever, but we also like get angry at ourselves and then turn into this little pile of shame. And I think anger is a lot like grief in that it's so complex and layered
Ooh,
and
that just gave
it's
me
stigmatized.
goosebumps.
Well, think about it. When we
It's
talk
true.
about grief, we talk about how it's like 20,000 different emotions rolled into one really big ball of poo, right?
Yes.
I feel like anger is that way too, because I think about, like, you know, for me, my aunt just passed away, and moving through the grief of that, like where I'm at in my grief is I'm furious. I'm furious at like what's left behind and what we're having to do. I'm furious at how this has affected my family. I'm furious at how our relationship was that we'll never get to fix now, you know? And so I'll go through my own grieving process with it, but I've just noticed how similar the anger and the grief and the process of having both of those and how they go so hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
And I think about a lot of the situations in the last few years that have like really hurt me and made me angry. And I think about how like most of those in some way or another were connected to grief. When we lose something, whether it's an idea, whether it's an opportunity, you know, that loss, sometimes it's safer to just feel angry and hold on to that than it is to sit in like the pain of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the pain of grief alone is so complex. And I'm excited for us to be able to talk about grief in our like 3 to 5 part, or maybe like a whole season, because grief, it's such an uncomfy topic. And I think with anger, that we can even talk about how men in this society find it so much easier to express anger because it's the manly way to express emotions, right? quote unquote. When in reality, this is these are other emotions coming out. We just don't know how to regulate them.
And I think anger is a really good way to like stuff emotions. And why are men dying at higher rates from suicide and heart disease and can't, you know what I mean? Like if we look at actual, like, I don't have them in front of me, but if we look at actual statistics, like men are dying at higher rates from stress induced things like that. And that's not to say like that other people, you know, the patriarchy, it's real and it's problematic, but I think it harms men so much too, right? Yep. This toxic masculinity, this like men have to be XYZ, this binary idea of how things are, like it is so detrimental to men's health. And when I had a baby come in, and I say baby because sometimes that's how I feel about all my clients, is I love them. And when I see those little kid parts come out, I'm just like, oh. And one came in and is like, I have never cried in front of anybody but my family before, and just woo. And I'm like, man, what is that like? Because I definitely haven't had that experience. Like the men in my life were pretty emotional. Angry was an emotion, but like they were pretty emotional. So like it's heartbreaking. And working at the men's addiction facility, like when I did groups on anger, the guys would be like, well, I never saw my dad cry. I never saw my dad like be upset. And we would do groups. I did an anger and fear group. Like that's how we did it, is like those two topics together. And we would spend time talking about like, what does anger look like in your family? How did you learn how to express it? And then most of them, it was from their dad. Not all, but that's a really common experience, is like dads get angry when they're scared. They get angry if you're doing something dangerous, like if you're doing something they don't like, you know, all these different things. And
well, that's also, think about men feeling so lonely too, right? Because they struggle with connecting with friends and family to a certain extent that women naturally can, because we're able to have those connecting conversations that really don't happen between men, because that's just, that
is
wasn't
it natural?
Taught.
I was going to say,
it wasn't taught.
Like that's the thing, is people say, well, women naturally talk more. I'm like, no, we're socialized to talk more. It's not just this inherent thing.
You're right. Yeah.
And men suffer so much at that, the hands of that idea.
And again, that also goes into health, like to be that isolated. That is harmful.
I'm gonna try to link the study that I recently read. I'm gonna put it in my notes so I don't forget. But there was a study about a recent study that came out talking about how one of the top contributors, or like one of the top ways to determine like life expectancy, had to do with connection, like social connection, like people who are more isolated, like that takes years off of your life. I'm gonna find that study.
Okay. And we can link it in. But yeah, I think that just knowing that anger is anger, and that's okay to be angry. It's one thing to be angry and then find the emotion that is the primary emotion, then process it. But with how we've learned to process anger in society is to be angry and then let that anger blow up. And then we feel better, right? Because we unleashed it in a way that wasn't healthy. And so, but there are so many ways that we can release our anger, feel our anger, find what we're truly feeling and process that emotion. Because just because we get angry enough to blow up and then we feel better doesn't mean that that emotion that was the underlying under the iceberg feeling was processed. That's still there.
Yeah. And we have to give space for that, right? Like, and that can look like so many different things. And we can't stray away from it. You know, it's kind of like learning to lean into ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we had asked for feedback on our social media. And one of the things that someone commented That's actually my dear friend Rachel. She said something so insightful and I loved it. She said, you know, anger was how I expressed myself as a kid to get my needs met, but now I try to use anger like a flashlight instead of a hammer. So I try to use anger to show me when something's wrong. Like if I'm feeling, and this is me paraphrasing, like what I'm taking from that is like if I feel angry, I need to look at that as an alarm is going off. What is going on? Where are my values not being met? Where does something feel unjust? What's going on that is triggering this emotion versus I'm mad, let's fight.
Yeah, it's a cue. So something we'll talk about in our next episode is emotion regulation. And this is, you know, anger is an emotion. How do we regulate that emotion? How can we use anger as a cue for us, as that flashlight rather than a hammer, and behaving on anger rather than searching for what is really going on? And so if this episode at all, you know, related to you in some type of way, and you want to learn more about how to regulate your emotions, next episode, we're going to really go into that process. So yeah, so next week's episode being, well, not next week's, because we're recording way ahead of schedule, which I love that for us, but the next week after this comes out, is about emotion regulation. How we can express our emotions in a healthy way, not just anger, there are
All of
anxiety. Yeah.
them.
So
Just the big ones that can
just
kind of get in the way.
yes. The unpleasant ones, you know, from what we were talking about earlier. But yeah, emotion regulation can look like grounding exercises, relaxation techniques. Any of your favorites that you can think of, Sam?
Yeah, no, I think we'll try to come with at least one or two, like, actual
Blockers.
strategies, like yeah, like a little CBT, DBT, something, just something quick that as a listener you can take away, whether you're a client or a clinician, just something, something quick, just like a stop and check in. So I think that most of the next episode is really just going to be talking about like what kind of ways we can regulate our emotion, the importance of doing that. What happens when you don't do that?
I love it. I think it's going to be a great episode. So make sure y'all listen in. And if y'all have any suggestions and for new topics in the future or interested in maybe being on an episode, reach out to us on the Instagram at goodyou.therapy or email goodyou.therapy@gmail.com.
Yes, please send us your thoughts, feedback on the episodes. We're really wanting to like listen and hear from other people on what y'all think and what you want to hear, because we're kind of going off of like where we're at and what we're thinking and what we're experiencing in our like professional and personal lives, right? So we want this to be something that's really collaborative with the community that we're in, like the mental health community as a whole. So definitely let us know what you think. We're looking forward to hearing from you guys.
Yay. Well, see y'all next week. See you, Sam.
Bye, Sam.
Bye. Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DREAMSCAPE, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram. Disclaimer. Sam and Sam are provisional licensed professional counselors. This podcast may include opinions, experiences, and research-backed discussions. This podcast is not meant to diagnose or provide any mental health treatment. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage thoughtful discussions around mental health. If you are seeking mental health services, please reach out to a licensed professional in your state or country that can give you additional resources. Thank you for listening.